Praise God. Was that at Karis at Colorado Springs? Oh, well, praise God. You know, I've been to Africa many times, and I've seen that many, many times, similar to that, you know? And that's the way the African people worship. And I thought that's surely Africa because, you know, they invented Motown. I mean, they really did. I mean, you go to a church there in Africa, and it is just like, you saw that guy and the way he danced, but you're going to see a group of them. Boy, I mean, they're just in perfect unison. And it is amazing to watch the African worship. The greatest worship I've ever seen in my life was in a prison when I went into Africa, in a prison where men were sentenced even to death. And they had nothing but a drum to worship, you know, as far as music. Just a drum. And the worship, I've never seen the worship like that before. It was so amazing. It was so amazing to see it. So, good to be with you today. You know who Dave Doyle is, most people? You'd probably, it was a friend of Andrew's. He was on Andrew's board for a long time. And his favorite prayer, and I'll use that prayer today. Help! That was his favorite prayer. And so that's what I need today because, well, praise God. Let me tell you a little bit. I've known Andrew Womack since 1972. He gave me a clock. It says, fellow laborer and beloved friend. Shared in ministry with him for 37 years. So I've gone way, way back before Andrew Womack was Andrew Womack. He was Andy Womack when I met him. He was just coming out of Vietnam. I met him at a Calvary Hill Baptist Church, and he was the youth leader. After he got back from Vietnam, he was a youth leader in the Southern Baptist Church, Calvary Hill Baptist Church, and it was an amazing church, and there was a lot of healing and a lot of deliverance that went on in that little Baptist church. And I was going to a Bible school then, and an unbelieving Bible college that believed in nothing like you're being taught today. They didn't believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They believed all that was passed away. And I found myself getting into more and more trouble. You know, because God was doing a work in my life out in an open field from that Bible college. I bowed my knee to his lordship. And I tell you, it changed my life. And so I met Andrew. And that little Baptist church loved Southern gospel music. They loved Southern gospel music. They had their own Southern gospel music quartet, and then there was a trio that was made up of three girls. It was called Jesus' Sake Trio. And they were beautiful girls, 20-some years old, or probably 20-some years old. And one of the girls in that trio was named Jamie Harrison. And Andrew got struck with the love bug. And she's now known as Jamie Womack. So Jamie Harrison. So, you know, I go way back. Yeah. And then Andrew asked me to be the best man in his wedding. So I was the best man in his wedding. And that was before my hair was gray. Okay. And then I met Andrew and my hair turned gray. So I came into Andrew's ministry, I don't know what year it was, in the 1980s, I think it was, or maybe the early 1990s. At that time, the cassette tapes were the thing. And so I just was a laborer down in the basement. He had this facility that was given to him at that time. You might hear him talk about it on tape sometime. It was in Manitou Springs. So his ministry was in Manitou Springs. And down there in the basement, I was, when you guys were ordering tapes, if you ever ordered any tapes from him, I was down there putting them in the bags and sealing them to mail to you. Okay, I'm glad you finally received them. So Andrew at that time was gathering a group of people because Andrew has always been a visionary. He can carry a lot on his back. He can really carry a lot on his back. And he's always been a visionary. And he thought to himself, what can I do for my partners that would get on board with me and support me monthly? What can I do for them? And he came up with this idea at that time called Life for Today. And it was a Life for Today Bible study commentary. You will now know it as being, I think, the Living Commentary or something. It's similar. And I think he's got them on his disc. He's got both the old Life for Today and the new Living Commentary kind of side by side. And I was instrumental in helping Andrew with that commentary. I would give him the basic information and he would rewrite it and change it. Okay, so anyway, so he gave those materials along with a cassette tape each month for partners that supported him. And I think at first he had about 1,500 people. It built up to about 1,500 people. And now Andrew's all over the world. You know, many Bible colleges in many places. I remember when Andrew didn't have a website. You know, I had a website before he had. I said, Andrew, you need to get on the web. Well, I don't know. Well, yeah. But now he's got a guy in there, Stan Priest, that, you know, started developing his website. And his website now is free downloads and all of his material there. And it's a tremendous thing what Andrew is doing. You know, his new school in Colorado and his new facility and his, you know, his vision. Just, whoa, it's all over the world. So I'm sure you know about it. So in 1994, Andrew decided that he needed to make disciples, that he needed to reproduce himself. And so he asked me, along with two or three other people, to be instructors in a Bible school that he wanted to start. And he wanted that Bible school to be different than the normal Bible schools where you just come in and get information. He wanted to reproduce himself and really make disciples. Hey, Larry, he's one of them. And I met Larry when he was going. What year did you go to school, Larry?
04, I graduated.
04, graduated. And to change the story, Larry's over. You know he can play the guitar and sing and do all this stuff, right? You've seen him. Well, Wayne Nur and Jan Nur, she was a music ministry in the music ministry when Larry was there. And these guys got together, started writing their own music and writing their own worship songs. And they wrote this song called I'm Blessed. And I remember when I was an instructor in Andrew's school, walking through the auditorium, Larry's over there and Jan, and they're trying to figure out words. They had a tune. They're trying to figure out words. to the chorus when I am blessed, I am blessed. And so I just walked through there because I'm kind of a joker. And I said, it's better to be blessed than to be a mess. Said, oh, that's it. That is what we needed. So I'm famous today. I'm a songwriter. And that's how it came about. But anyway, good to see you, Larry. In 1994, we started a school, and I was an instructor at the very beginning, and it was called Colorado Bible College. Colorado Bible College. And after a year or two, Andrew started scratching his head, a few of us, and well, I want to go worldwide. It's kind of strange to have Colorado Bible College in Russia, you know. Russia is not exactly Colorado. And if you have it in the United Kingdom, that's not exactly Colorado. So I believe it was Wendell Parr, and you probably know Wendell, probably seen him on video. I think it was Wendell that came up with the name Charis, which is a Greek word for grace, okay? So that's how Charis Bible College began. And I was with Andrew from 1994 to 2009. And then I told Andrew, I said, well, tomorrow I'll tell you a little more about the Discipleship Evangelism Program. But I decided that I wanted to reach out and to develop more discipling tools similar to discipleship evangelism, but to broaden that. And so I've spent several years after I left Andrew's ministry trying to develop discipleship tools for the body of Christ all over the world. So we've printed thousands of books in India, and Africa was a big nation that we went into in India. And that went on for several years. And then one day I was in Oklahoma, and it was just like, it's over. You know, whatever the writing that I did, the discipling tools that I put together, it's kind of at an end. It's over. And I just kind of knew that. And I thought, well, God, all right, is that it? I mean, are you ready to translate me? You know, walk with God, and one day I'm not anymore. Is that where I'm at? And so this last summer we began to do some. My son came to visit me, and this is my wife, Dana. I started to point at him. He's not my wife. I'm like, whoa, what happened to you? And so Dana wants to get away from me, so she gets her daughter and they go somewhere for a week or so. No, it's not the way it is. But anyway, she's a party girl, so she went to party with her daughter, and they went somewhere. And my son came to babysit me because I'm a big baby, all right? And so he said, Dad, I'm going to bring my camera, and you might want to do some videos. And I didn't really want to do any videos. I said, well, I might do one or two. It's all right if you bring it. I might do one or two. All right. We sat down that week that we were together, and he said, now there's a drawback. There's a drawback. And here's the drawback to my camera, Dad. My camera is this SLR camera. It's a Nikon camera, but I can use it for video, but it'll only video up to 18 minutes. That's it, 18 minutes. So I thought, okay, that's great. We'll do these teachings that will be from 15 to 18 minutes, okay, because your camera only go that far. And my son, he's into photography, and he kind of stock photos. He actually sells photos on the internet. So he knew how to make a person look fairly decent. So he kind of put me to the side on the video. And so here I'm out on the side, instead of me being right in the middle, you know, standing here. I'm at this side like this, and he set me down at a table down in my home in the basement. We have these big open windows. It is so beautiful outside, all of the trees. It's like you're in the forest, but you're sitting in home in the downstairs. And so I'm sitting down there, and you see all this background, and he took a globe, and he took a coffee cup, and he laid it down there on the table, and he put me kind of the side, because, Dad, you'll just look nicer. It'll just kind of give you an offset there. It'll look nicer, and this and that and that. But little did he know, and little did I know, that that was so much God. Because after... in a week, we did 20 videos, okay? Now, after about a month of posting those videos on my website, DE Lessons, it should be on that card that was passed out to you. Come and visit my website, if you would, delessons.org. Type it into your HTTP, then put delessons.org. It'll come up to my website. And on my website, I've got all of these materials that I spent years developing, as well as the Discipleship Evangelism Program. The Discipleship Evangelism Program is on there also for a free download. All right? So you can download that free. And then there's almost every book in the New Testament has some kind of a discipling program or something that you can go to any book in the Bible, commentary kind of things where you can, you know, if you just have a question about it, I wonder what 2 Timothy 2, 3 means or something. I mean, you can look it up and I've got some kind of material on every book in the Bible. It's all free. There's over 1,057 downloads that are absolutely free for you to download from. And I just spent years just with the printed materials. And now we have videos. These 20 videos that I made this last summer, we call it Table Talk. Table Talk for Christians on the move. For Christians that don't want to sit down and spend an hour and a half or an hour watching someone's video. Hey, don't you know, we're busy people. We're busy Christians. You know, I'm a busy mother. I'm a busy father. I've got to work. I don't have time to sit down and listen to all of this teaching. But I can listen to 15 minutes. I can listen to 17 to 18 minutes. And that camera being limited to that time was the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Because after a month of statistics and seeing people come to the website, I saw, whoa, this is what people are watching. They want to maybe do their devotions in the morning. They got 15 minutes. Or they might have 15 minutes in the evening after they get off work. And they'll sit there and they'll watch those videos. And they are packed. I mean, they are packed with the word. There's something on them. Everyone, there's something on there to offend you all. So you'll want to go there and get offended. Okay? Now, the other thing is that this space, you know, my son put me to the side just because he thought it looked better for photography reasons. Well, I said to Stephen, or he said to me, or I said to him, I don't remember how it came about now. He says, Dad, you quote so many scriptures when you minister. You just quote scriptures, and quote scriptures. And I said, well, why don't you pull up the scriptures? Every time I quote a scripture, pull it up. So, because I'm sitting to the side, it doesn't go over my face. I'm still there ministering. You can still see me ministering. But every time I read a scripture or I quote a scripture, pops it up. And that has doubled the power of those videos. You know, it's one thing for me to minister today and you say, you know, I don't agree with him. I just don't agree with what he said, you know, or whatever. And that's fine. That's fine. But man, when you're talking and the word of God's coming out of you like a river, and you're, boom, it's coming up like this and this, and the person that's watching is forced to see that. Boom, boom, boom. It has an effect. Now, I have always hated to listen to me. I mean, that's one thing I will not do. I won't do what you're doing today. You know, I just will not listen to Don Crow. I never have. I just like, wow, I can't stand to listen to him. And I've always been that way. But after I've made these Table Talk videos and these scriptures come up and they're short videos, you know, and they, each one of them has a point. I start with the authority to preach the gospel. Okay. First of all, you have authority to preach the gospel. The second tape was a 15-minute was, well, what is the gospel that you're supposed to preach? What is it we're supposed to preach? And then it just goes on from there. Boom, 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 boom. I'm not going to tell you the rest. But anyway, the last one is how I got kicked out of Bible college. And that is so popular. I mean, we just posted that not very long ago, and it's already number three in just a few weeks. And you know what it is? There's a lot of teachings that are better than that teaching. But titles, people look at titles, you know. They don't want to, you know, hear about this and that. They want, like, well, you got kicked out of Bible school. I want to know what happened. Did Andrew throw him out of the school? You know, that's what they're thinking, especially CBC students. They, oh, I got to hear that. I know Don Crow got kicked out of school. Andrew, I asked him to leave. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. But what I'm saying is, you know how people's minds work. Mine works the same. I would want to see how Andrew Womack got kicked out of Bible school, or Kenneth Copeland, or anybody else, you know? I mean, it's just like, whoa. Short, 15 minutes, tells a story of how I discovered the power of the Word of God. It's an amazing story. It's a true story. You know, I've told people that story, witnessed on the street, told soldiers on a plane, everything, you know, like, I don't believe the Bible, a bunch of fairy tales, myth. Oh, really? I don't know about that. But this is what happened to me, and I'll tell them his stories. True stories of things that I've experienced. And it's like, whoa, where can I get a Bible? You know what I mean? So it is, these testimonies are great. It's just hard to live through them. You know, it's hard to go back. What time does this session end?
We'll probably stop at about 5 after.
Five after? Okay.
Or if you want, anytime you want to, we can always
arrange our schedule. Okay. Going back to 1994, you know, some of you weren't even born. No, some of you were born. But, you know, when I start talking about different presidents of the United States, like Nixon or Kennedy or Eisenhower, and these people don't even, who is that? I wasn't a president. Well, I never heard of the guy. You know? Then you know how old you are. Then you know how old you are. So anyway, I'm older than dirt, but that's all right, you know. 1994, Andrew asked me, well, why do we want to teach? We're developing this Bible school, this Karis Bible College. You know, what are we going to teach? What are we going to teach? Wendell, what are you going to teach? What would you like to teach, Wendell? And there was Linus Lefevre. What would you like to teach, Linus? And then me, what would you like to teach this and that? And Andrew, you know what Andrew's going to teach. He's going to teach everything that he teaches, you know. He's going to teach those things. So anyway, I was asked to teach a course on evangelism. It was a class on evangelism. And I thought to myself, I am not going to teach a class on evangelism or anything else if I'm not doing it myself. You know, I'm not just going to say, you ought to go do this. You know, and if I'm not doing it myself, I'm not going to tell you to go do it. You know what I'm saying? So I started to get every book that I could on evangelism and study it. because I was going to be a teacher. And that was one of my courses. And did you know I couldn't find hardly anything? Did you know there's not much on evangelism? You know, there's evangelism explosion. Bill Bright's four spiritual laws in Romans, you know. R.A. Torrey, how to win people to Christ, which that is a good book. And these kind of things, but they're hard to find these books on evangelism. So I took these books and I read them and I went out into the parks and I went out into the streets and I went into the highways and I went into the byways and I found out, basically, it really doesn't work. Really doesn't work very good. Really doesn't. And so I thought, is that really, what is it that Jesus really proclaimed? And I found that there really wasn't, it wasn't what I thought. It wasn't really what I had heard in church. Have you ever thought about it? You know, there's not any book in the Bible other than the book of Acts that we can see what the apostles taught and how they asked people to respond. All we have is the book of Acts that tells us that. Okay? Now, we can create our own doctrine by taking a little verse here and a little verse there and say, well, this is what you do to lead somebody to Christ. This is what you do to lead somebody to the Lord. Da, da, da. Here's four verses out of Romans. Get them to say this prayer. But actually, it really confused me because I'm studying the scriptures. For one thing, what did the apostles say? Have you ever thought about it? What did they tell an individual that was lost? Have you ever thought about it? I mean, really, what was the message? Well, first of all, let's even back up before the apostles. What was the message of Jesus? Now, some people don't like that because they say, well, Jesus, he was born under the law. Don't pay attention to what he was saying, da, 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 da. You know, go over here to Apostle Paul. He's a minister of grace. Well, if I'm correct in what I read in the Bible, it tells me in Hebrews chapter 2, maybe I'll turn there. I'm just going to read this. I think it's Hebrews chapter 2. It says, verse 1, therefore we ought to give more earnest heed to the things that we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and every disobedience received a just recompense of reward, which means this, if the law came through the dispensation of angels, it was given through Moses, and if those people despised what they heard, the word of the Lord, that came through the angels and came through Moses, then there was a heavy price to pay. You know what it was? It was physical death for them that despised the word of the Lord. You know? Then he contrasts that with verse 3. That was just spoken by angels, but how shall we? You see, we is a personal pronoun that includes the speaker that is speaking as well as the audience to which is being addressed. You know, and many times today, it really, I get a little frustrated because, well, there's a warning in the scripture there. There's a warning we should, you know, but that doesn't really apply to us. You know, I said the prayer and you know, all of this kind of stuff. I said the prayer and all this. I'm fine, this and that and that. So this warning doesn't really have anything to do with me or apply to me. Well, when you see the writers of the New Testament, many, many, many times, just like we see right here in Hebrews chapter 2, He said, how shall we? You, who I'm speaking to, and me, that is speaking to you, how shall we escape if we neglect, neglect or set aside this great salvation? It's a great salvation, right? And notice what it says in that verse. Which at first began to be spoken by the Lord. Did you get that? Jesus was the one that first started to talk about the message of salvation. It wasn't Paul. Paul got his revelation of the gospel from the Lord Jesus. It says in the book of Galatians, he received it not of man, not of Charis Bible College, not of any training center, not of any church. I received it directly by revelation of Jesus Christ, which means two things, probably. The revelation was Jesus Christ, and the revelation was from Jesus Christ. The gospel was first spoken on this earth. If you want to go back, find out about evangelism, okay, if we want to call it that, it's really not evangelism. It's discipleship. Okay, I'm going to say something that's going to shock you, maybe. It shocked me, but it may not shock you. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay, just read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You'll never see an invitation from Jesus to become a Christian. It's not there. You will never see the word Christian used in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. What? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord? The Lord was talking about salvation, but he didn't ever say to somebody, would you like to become a Christian? No. The word wasn't even in the vocabulary of Jesus, and it wasn't in the vocabulary of the 12 apostles that he chose. It was not in the vocabulary of the 70 people that also became Christian ministers and went out and preached. No one ever asked anyone if they wanted to be a Christian. Amazing, isn't it? I go to my Christian yellow pages, right? Oh my word, the Christian this and the Christian that and the Christian, you know, everything's Christian. Okay, if he didn't call people to be Christians, what did he do? Come follow me. You're fishing for fish, are you? That's your profession? From now on, you come follow me, you become a fisher of men. Come and be my disciple. He called, everyone he ever called was never to be a Christian, but to be a disciple. Okay? Now, somebody might say, oh, I don't agree with that. I cannot agree with that. Well, then, I don't know. What are you going to do with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? I don't know what you're going to do with it. If you believe that Jesus began to speak of so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, you're going to have a hard time with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John because you're not going to know what to do with it. Jesus called us to be a disciple. And you know what? To be a disciple costs something. Well, it's because Jesus didn't understand the grace message. You know, John 1:17 says the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Jesus introduced grace. Jesus introduced the grace message not the Apostle Paul. But the grace message under the ministry of Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul is quite a bit different than the way some of us interpret the grace message today. Okay? Now, what do I mean by that? Well, my time's up. I'll see you next year. I'm leaving now. I don't want to explain that. That's what I used to do at school all the time. I'd get to a point and it says, well, I got to go now. Oh, no, no, no. We want to know. Tell us now. Tell us. The grace of God that brings salvation, Titus 2:11, has appeared to all men, you know, teaching us. Grace teaches us things that we don't hear about, you know. Grace was introduced by Jesus. The law was introduced by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, how did the early church understand the Bible? Okay, good question, isn't it? How did they understand the Bible? Today in Charis Bible College, this morning we're going to teach on spirit, soul, and body, first hour. The next hour we're going to teach on healing. Third hour we're going to teach on prosperity. You know what? I may be wrong. I had a teacher in school says, I may not always be right, but I'm never wrong. I may be wrong about this, but I really don't think that the early New Testament church ever heard teachings like that. Okay? You go, what? And what do I mean by that? Well, let's think about it. Let's go back and think about it. We've got our Bible today, right? And you've got your verses that you really like that's underlined. And the ones that aren't underlined is the ones that you should be giving your attention to. Okay? But you've got the ones you've underlined, right? And the way that we read it, because we love those verses so much, we read it like this. Okay, look. You know, if we like John 3:16, that's all we see. God loved the world. He gave his son. If I believe in him, I won't perish. I have everlasting life. Well, what about John 5:20? Well, no. I don't like that verse. That just, it's not, no. It's just John 3:16. We don't need, you know, John 5 or any, we don't need 2 Peter 3. No. So we become focused like this. And I really believe, even the way the Bible was written and put together, that it was more like this. Like, you know, you ever see that old movie back in, I think, the 50s and 60s, This Was Your Life? You know, they have some movie star that's famous and say, tonight you're on This Is Your Life, Rock Hudson. It's This Is Your Life. Here you were a baby, weren't you a cute baby? And there you are, your mom and daddy. And that's when you were in high school and you played football. And he goes on and on and on with your life. God's got a plan for you and I. Starts at the beginning of your life and it goes to the end. And Paul said, I want my ministry to be, you know, hot on fire at the end, didn't he? Lest I be a castaway, even said. I don't want to preach to others, and I'm not living up to what I'm preaching, you know? God's got a plan. But we are so focused. Today, this is raining, and man, it's cold, and I have to drive over here. I'm so focused on my troubles today, you know, I'm so focused, like I read the Bible, just so focused like that, that I don't realize God's got a big picture. Got a big picture. And when you look at the scriptures, you got to look at it. If you want to see it correctly, you got to look at the big picture. And you know what? The big picture has all the verses you don't like, and it's got all the verses that you do like. And I really believe that God never meant for the Word of God to be set against the Word of God. If I said, what about this scripture? And I quoted it. And you say, well, what about this one over here? That one says this. And so you try to negate this verse that I'm talking about with your verse over there. And so instead of the Word of God becoming a unifier, it becomes a divider. Because you're kind of stepping on my doctrine a little bit, and I can't really go there. I know the Bible says that, but you know, and you give a million interpretations, twisting into a passage to change what the passage says. To change what the passage says. And I really think, I could be wrong, but I really think if you had a Bible and God said, here, get on the helicopter, you're going to go for a ride, and he dropped you on an island all by yourself with a Bible and the Holy Spirit, no commentary, no preacher, no teacher, no one telling you this is what the Bible says, you'd probably get the right interpretation. Now, you could be like me when I was a young kid, 20-some years old. I didn't understand any. I was like the Ethiopian eunuchs. What is this talking about? Was the prophet talking about himself, or was he talking about someone else? He said, do you understand? Philip ran up to him and said, do you understand what you read? He said, how can I? Unless somebody explains it to me. There is a place to explain. There is a place in the body of Christ for teachers. You know, God's given pastors and prophets and apostles and pastors and teachers. There's a place for them. But they never meant to be my Christian life, to control my Christian life. I mean, in such a sense that, oh, well, so-and-so says this and so-and-so says that. Well, did you... What is your Bible says? Well, it doesn't matter. That's not what so-and-so said. You know, that really frustrates me. But somewhere down in my life, I got disillusioned by my favorite teachers because a lot of them fell for various reasons. But I got disillusioned. And finally, I said, Lord, you know what? I'm going to commit myself to the Word of God. I've got to commit myself to the Word of God. And you know, Lord, I haven't done it, but I'm going to do it now. I'm going to believe what you said through the writings of the Apostle Paul when he said in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. The Greek word is theonoustos. It means God breathed. All scripture is God breathed. Well, maybe we should just turn there. Look at that. 1 Timothy chapter 3, or maybe it's 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Yeah, 2 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 15, Paul is telling Timothy that he's known the Holy Scriptures that's able to make him wise unto salvation, which is through faith in Jesus Christ. And then he made this statement about Scripture. He said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. all scripture is God-breathed. It's breathed by, how much closer could you get than something that came out of a person? The breath of God came from the very being of God. And it was breathed into the Word of God. And the Word became God, and the Word was God. Okay? So, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, we better stop there because we're not going to like what we read. Have you got any stones under there or donuts to throw at me or anything? Okay. Look at this. Why did God give the scriptures? Why? Okay. Let's look at it. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable. Are you with me there? It's profitable for doctrine. Doctrine. What's doctrine? It's profitable to teach. That's what doctrine is. Teaching. It's profitable to teach. Now, here's another thing. What time does this close? In 5 after, you said?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Here's another thing. When Paul wrote this, there was no New Testament. Uh-oh. I mean, there might have been some letters circulated, a few letters, but there was no New Testament canon and put together and having a New Testament like, you know, here's my Bible. No. The early church had a Bible. You know what? It was only this much Bible. What was that? The Old Testament. Oh, I don't believe in the Old Testament. We got a new covenant, and that's an old covenant. We don't even have to read that or anything. Well, you know, Paul didn't really take that attitude towards the Old Testament. He said, all scripture, and he's telling it to the New Testament community that had the Old Testament as their scripture. He said, all scriptures inspired by God, it's profitable to teach. You know, I can teach out of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's profitable to teach. Okay? Now, what else is it profitable to do? You're not going to like this. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable to teach, and it's profitable for reproof. Uh-oh. No. You don't understand the grace message. It's profitable to rebuke you. That's what reproof means. God gave the scripture to rebuke us when we needed to be rebuked. I had a pastor when I was teaching at CBC, and I was doing this mentoring class in evangelism, and he came in and visited one and sat in with us. And then as he left, or it was in the middle of class or as he left, he says, Don, I will not tell anyone on the street anything but that God loves them. That's all I'll tell them. Well, fine. And God does love them. And that is a strong foundation. But read the evangelism of Jesus and the messages to the lost that the apostles give. Okay? Because there's a dimension of love that's not just a feeling like, you're so wonderful, you know. So the scripture is given for doctrine, for reproof, and you won't like this one, correction. The Word of God was given to you to correct you. To correct you. Let me just say this. I do hesitate to say this, but I'm going to say it. We all love the grace teaching, don't we? I mean, we do. I mean, there is no, there's salvation in nothing else but in God's grace. Did you know that? You knew that, didn't you? You knew there's salvation in nothing else but the grace of God. The grace of God brings us salvation. But in saying that, I was at CBC many years. And I saw what you didn't see. I saw students that you didn't see. I saw students come in for counseling that you didn't see. I saw Charis Bible College people come in with their sin, and they weren't going to give that sin up either because they didn't think they had to. Because don't you know, Brother Don, that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And yes, it does. Did you know the grace of God is greater than our sin? And it is true. Which leads us to the conclusion. Why not sin? Why not go out and party? Why not do whatever we want to do, this and that. No restraints. You know, God's grace is greater than any of that stuff. And that was the question after Paul taught grace. That was the question that someone asked him in Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Shall we now continue in sin that grace may increase? Because it's of grace. It's greater than sin. You know what Paul said? God forbid distortion of grace. You're not understanding the message correctly. Do you get what I'm saying? You're not understanding the message correctly. There was a young lady that came into Charis Bible College one year. She had a nice husband. He was a Charis Bible College student. She was a Charis Bible College student. They went through the first year of Charis Bible College, and they, as far as I knew, they were just, you know, high-flying followers of Jesus as far as I was concerned. I mean, you know, good people. Then after the first year, they dropped out, and I heard they got a divorce. Then in a couple of years, she came back to CBC again with a new husband. And he was a CBC student. And she's a CBC student. And they went through that year. And at the end of that year, she divorces her second husband that is also a CBC student. And you know what she said? When you tried to correct her, listen, I don't want to hear any of that. All I need to do is listen to Andrew Womack's Spirit, Soul, and Body teaching and get it more ingrained into me. More ingrained into me. That's all I need. Because, you know, I'm going to divorce this husband. I'm going to do what I want to do. And all I need is to renew my mind by this teaching. Now, am I saying Andrew's teaching is wrong? No, I'm not saying his teaching's wrong. I'm saying there was a misapplication to Andrew's teaching, just like there was a misapplication to the Apostle Paul's teaching. They were taking part of the truth of grace that was a very wonderful, wonderful part of grace, but misapplying it. Because here's what happened. Because not all scripture, see, the scripture that you don't like and the scripture that you avoid and the scripture you put aside and the scripture you try to set against this scripture, against that, all those scriptures that you push aside, you know what? That's where the devil will eat your lunch. That's where it gets you. It's not that these scriptures that you love is not the Word of God. They're the Word of God for sure. But the scriptures that you don't, that makes you uncomfortable, that you don't really want to take at the face value, and you ignore those and you push those away, there's where Satan will get in. Because you know what Jesus said? And I'm going to end it. It's time for ending. right now, we'll take a break. Jesus said this. I think it's in Matthew 4, I believe, or Matthew 4, and I think it says this. The devil came to tempt Jesus, right? And he was using some scriptures. But Jesus came back to him and says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Do you get it? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, sometimes we got a scripture over here and we got a scripture over here, and it almost looks like, hey, they kind of conflict a little bit. Or, you know, I can see how that could be true. I see how that can be true. I don't see how they could be true together, but it seems that would be a truth on its own. That would be a truth on its own. I don't see how they can go together. But you know what? God in his wisdom and God in his knowledge knows how to it goes together. And you know what? There's a lot of times I didn't understand how to put those scriptures together, but there's a lot of those verses now that I know how it unifies the scripture, not divides. Instead of me, you know, trying to spin an interpretation so I can kill that verse, man. I don't like that. No, I'm not going to do that. We'll set it aside with this verse, and we'll let God do the work and the Holy Spirit illuminate, and we'll see how those two things come together. It's fascinating. Oh, it's fascinating. Now, that's the way that I approach Scripture, but I find that many, many people will not approach the Scripture that way. But I'm just telling you, I'm an old man now. I got nothing to lose. And that's the way that I will go to the grave, saying, I may not understand every jot and tittle, but I will not deny that all scripture is inspired by God. It's profitable to be taught. It's profitable to rebuke me when I need it, to correct me when I need it, and to instruct me. And when you take those things away from the scripture, and a false application of the grace message will take those away from the scripture. When those things are taken away from the scripture, then you're left with just a little bit of scripture. And you wonder why it seems like I'm being beat up. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Think about it, and we'll talk to you in a few minutes after our break. God bless you.